Welcome to the Simple Bible Course. My name is Josh Watson, and this is Session 5, Abraham. Last time, we looked at the flood and how God destroyed all of life on earth except for one family and at least two of every kind of animal. And then from that very small group, the entire world was populated once again. That brought us to midway through Genesis chapter 11. The last part of Genesis 11 is a genealogy that shows us how there was a total of 9 generations between Noah's son Shem and Abraham, whose name was Abram at first. So by the time Abram is born, 9 generations after the flood, the earth has been repopulated. The story of the Tower of Babel has taken place. People have spread out according to their languages, and different civilizations and nations are starting to form. And it's at this time that God decides to choose a very specific man to become father of the future nation of Israel, as well as a type of spiritual father for all of us who have faith in God. And that story begins in Genesis 12. Out of nowhere, God calls a man named Abram, who was living in the land of Ur, which is present-day Iraq. And God said to him, "Get up, leave your country and your family and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you." God doesn't even tell Abram where to go. He just says, "Pack everything up, leave everything and everyone behind, and go." God would take care of the rest. God then promised Abram to bless him greatly, to make him into a great nation, and even to bless the entire world through him. All this happened when Abram was 75 years old. He was married to Sarai at the time. He had no children, and now was moving far away to who knows where. But he made the right decision. God led him until he reached the land of Canaan, or present-day Israel. His nephew Lot also came along, and because God had already begun to bless Abram with lots of possessions and animals, Abram and Lot had to separate. They had too much livestock between them to live next to each other, so they separated. Lot chose the best land, the Jordan Valley, and Abram went the other way, staying in Canaan. However, this is when God made a great promise to Abram. God said, "Abram, look in every direction, north, south, east, west, everywhere. All the land that you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. This is all your land, and it will always be all your land. And not only that, but your descendants will be like the dust of the earth." Pretty incredible promise. In other words, God was telling Abram that he would have so many descendants that trying to number them would be as difficult as sitting down and trying to count dust particles. Pretty much impossible. In fact, God again said something else very similar to this just 2 chapters later. In Genesis 15, God told Abram to look up into the sky and count all the stars if he could. Then God said, "That's what your descendants will be like, too many to even start counting." And again, this is a pretty incredible promise considering the fact that Abram was more than 75 years old at that point. His wife was also old. She wasn't able to have children so far. And God was comparing their descendants with the dust of the earth and the stars of the sky. But Abram still chose to believe God. And the verse that tells us this is actually one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. In Genesis 15:6, it says, "And Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." There's so much important truth in that verse. Even though the promise looked impossible, Abram believed that God had the power to do what he said. And as a result of his faith, it says he gained righteousness. He was considered righteous in God's sight, not because he was holy, not because he was obeying God in many ways, not because he traveled a long way to Canaan, but because he had faith in God. This one verse proves that all people of all generations throughout all of history are made righteous in God's sight only if they have genuine faith, real faith in God. There's no other way to God except through faith. Now, after all that, after some time had passed, in Genesis 16, we read that Abram's wife Sarai got a little tired of waiting for a child from God, so she suggested that Abram have a child with her Egyptian servant Hagar. She thought, "Who knows, maybe this promised child from God is meant to come through my servant instead of me." Abram ended up following the suggestion, and as a result, Ishmael was born. This This took place about 10 years after Abram had come to Canaan. So Abram was about 86 years old when Ishmael was born. However, this was definitely not God's plan or promise. The promise God made was that Abram would have a son with Sarai, his wife, and that her son would be the one through whom all the descendants would come, through whom Abram would be made into a great nation, and through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so in chapter 17, God once again appeared to Abram and made the same promise. Very clearly, Abram was 99 at the time, and Sarai was about 90. But God promised that Abram would have a son with Sarai, his wife, and through that son, all the promises would be fulfilled. God even told Abram that when that son was born, he should be named Isaac. In fact, that wasn't the only new name given by God at this time. God not only told Abram to name his unborn son Isaac, but God also changed Abram's name to Abraham at this time, which means father of many nations, as well as God changed his wife's name Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. And then after all this, God gave an exact date to Abraham and Sarah when they could expect their promised son. God told them that Isaac would be born, quote, this time next year. So all their waiting was almost over, only one more year. This chapter, though, Genesis 17, is important for another reason. God also instituted the covenant of circumcision at this time. You see, God made a very special covenant with Abraham. He promised not only to bless Abraham, but to make him into a great nation, to give him the land of Canaan as a permanent home for his descendants, and to bless all the nations of the earth through him. So clearly, there was a special covenant between God and Abraham's descendants. That's why God made a sign for that covenant. Just like God gave the rainbow as a sign of the covenant he made after the flood, God said that circumcision would be the sign of the covenant between God and Abraham's descendants. And the sign was this: all the males that come from Abraham were to be circumcised, and it should be done on the eighth day after they were born. This circumcision was a physical sign that would later represent a spiritual truth. And as usual, Abraham obeyed right away. He and his son Ishmael were circumcised that same day. But now Abraham was excited, and he was anxiously waiting for the promised son, Isaac, who was to be born by that time next year. In the meantime, though, another story takes place, a story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels from God visit Abraham. They tell him about God's plan to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. Of course, Abraham pleads that the cities be spared, because he knows his nephew Lot is living there. Lot moved towards the Jordan Valley, but eventually ended up nearby in the city of Sodom itself. God didn't spare the cities, but he did spare Lot because Lot believed in God. The angels went to Sodom to rescue Lot and his family before God destroyed the cities. Lot and his family hesitated at first, but eventually left with the angels and fled to the mountains. And of course, that's when God rained down fire from heaven and burnt up both Sodom and Gomorrah. This, of course, is just a reminder to us of how much God hates sin and the kind of punishment that comes if you refuse to repent and change. But it also reminds us that God is very merciful and gracious and will save those who fear him, as he did for Lot. And then finally, in chapter 21, the promised son of Abraham and Sarah is born. Isaac was born just like God promised at the exact time that he promised. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. But God was God. Which brings us to the biggest test of Abraham's life, probably the biggest test that any father has ever gone through. God decided to test Abraham's faith and see if his love for Isaac was greater than his love for God. So in chapter 22, God told Abraham to take his son Isaac, whom he loved, and go to a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice to God on an altar. An incredibly difficult instruction to obey. It doesn't tell us how difficult this was for Abraham, but it's something that could only be imagined anyway. I mean, it must have been extremely confusing, not only because Abraham loved Isaac so much and waited so long for him, but this was the son through whom all the promises were to be fulfilled. But despite how hard and confusing it was for him, Abraham rose the next morning, got everything ready, and left with his son Isaac and two servants to go offer Isaac to the Lord. And it says it took them 3 days to get there where they were going. And once they got there, Abraham said something very important to his two servants. He said, "Stay here, I and the boy will go and worship, and then return to you." See, in Abraham's mind, both he and his son Isaac would return. Of course, Abraham wasn't positive about exactly what was going to happen, but he knew that all the promises of God were through Isaac. So he figured that God would probably raise Isaac back up from the dead. In fact, it tells us that this was what was going through Abraham's mind in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. It says, Abraham had faith because he, quote, considered that God was able even to raise him, Isaac, from the dead. So we can see that Abraham's love for God was greater than his love for Isaac because he decided to obey the instruction to offer up his own son. And we can also see that Abraham's faith in God was very strong because he believed that even though he was going to offer up Isaac, they would still both return to the servant afterwards. As the story goes, Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain. As Isaac carried the wood, then Abraham tied his son to the altar and lifted up his knife to kill him. And at that moment, an angel stopped Abraham, and the test was over. It was clear Abraham feared and obeyed God. And in the place of Isaac, a ram was provided as a sacrifice instead. So Abraham then named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And what's very interesting about this mountain or hill where they were is that it is the exact same spot that Jesus was offered as a sacrifice on the cross many years later. That time, though, it was the promised Son of God carrying the wood or the cross, and it was God the Father that put him on that cross and sacrificed the Son whom he loved. So the Lord did provide in that place. And God did, in fact, raise Jesus from the dead, just as Abraham thought God would do for Isaac. So the whole story of Abraham and Isaac is a pretty incredible picture of what later happened when God sent his son as a sacrifice for us, except God actually went through with that sacrifice. Now, in the next two chapters, Abraham's wife Sarah died and was buried, and then Abraham sent his servant back to his home country and to the area of his relatives in order to find a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham didn't want Isaac to marry a girl from the land of Canaan because the people were wicked, so he sent his servant away. And once he reached the land of Abraham's relatives, he was able to find a girl named Rebekah, who he then brought back for Isaac, and they got married. Now, this actually brings us to the end of the life of Abraham. At the beginning of Genesis 25, it tells us that Abraham gave all of his possessions to his son Isaac and then died at the age of 175. And he was buried by his sons Isaac and Ishmael in the same place that Sarah, his wife, was buried, in the cave of Machpelah. The life of Abraham was an extremely important and meaningful one. From Genesis 12 to 25, it tells us about a man who left his country and family because of his faith in God. A man that knew he'd have many descendants and that great nations would come from him because of his faith in God. And a man that offered up his own son Isaac, even though he loved him and even though all God's promises were supposed to be fulfilled through that son, because of his faith in God. And this is why Abraham is called father of our faith. After the flood and the world being repopulated, Abraham is the first story of a man having great faith in God. And because of his faith, God not only made him the father of a great nation, Israel, but he also became a sort of leader for all of us after him who also have faith in God. Not to mention that, like God said, through him all the nations of the world were to be blessed. As we later find out, it was from Abraham's descendants and the nation of Israel, that Jesus was eventually born into the world. And Jesus is the Savior of everyone who believes and follows him. So it truly was through Abraham that all the nations of the earth were blessed. But very quickly, let's look at what happens right after the death of Abraham. Abraham's promised son, Isaac, had twin sons. The older one was named Esau, and the younger one was named Jacob. Esau was more like his father, a hunter and an outdoor person, while Jacob was more of a stay-at-home person, hang out with his mom. And because of this, one day Esau came home completely exhausted and asked Jacob for some stew that he had made. Jacob agreed, but only on one condition, that Esau sell him his birthright in exchange. As the firstborn, Esau had the birthright, which included many rights and privileges, and Jacob asked for this in exchange for the stew. Esau agreed. But that's not all that Jacob got from Esau. Once Isaac, their father, was about to die, Isaac asked Esau to go hunting and prepare some food for him to eat so that he could bless him before he died. Rebekah, however, Isaac's wife, heard this, and since she was closer to Jacob, she talked Jacob into tricking his father and getting the blessing for himself instead. The plan worked, and Jacob walked away with Isaac's blessings, in addition already to Esau's birthright. Of course, this made Esau very angry, and so he decided to kill Jacob. But he wanted to wait until his father died first. In the meantime, though, Rebekah heard about the plan and sent Jacob away. As Jacob was on his way leaving Canaan, God came to him in a dream and promised to protect him, to bless him, and to bring him back to Canaan again. The promises God made to Abraham would be fulfilled through him. Jacob then left that place and came to where his relatives were still living, and he spent 20 years there working for his uncle Laban and starting a family. He married Leah and Rachel and then came back to Canaan with 11 sons. Soon the 12th son, Benjamin, would be born, but the Bible focuses on the 11th son, Joseph, and his life. And that's where we'll pick up next time. The important role of Joseph as the nation of Israel ends up in Egypt and what happened to Israel while they were there. But this is the life of Abraham. He was called by God to leave everything, to go somewhere far away, to inherit a land, to be the father of many, and to be the means of blessing the whole world. And because of his great faith in God, it all happened.